The good news about the gospel is that God embraces us and accepts us, and he allows us to continue walking with him even when we are imperfect and still weak, and we still struggle. And when we are honest and look inside ourselves, we still see weakness, and sometimes we even have stumblings. But what we find in Scripture, and today we're going to look in particular at 1 John 1, 5 through 10, is we're going to see how merciful and patient God is, even in the midst of walking in weakness and having struggle still. And again, the good news of the gospel is that God embraces us and he accepts us as his children, even when we're imperfect, even before we've reached perfection. God doesn't expect perfection in one sense. In one sense, he does accept perfection. He demands perfect righteousness in order to be saved and to live in his presence. The good news, obviously, what we all know, is that Jesus is the one who brought that for us. And so God counts us as righteous, even as we're still living up this life in pursuit of obedience and we still have weakness. God doesn't relate to us and define us by that weakness, but rather he defines us by the righteousness of Jesus. And that's something we can begin to see here in 1 John 1, 5 through 10. So John says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So, in God, there's no darkness at all. There's no sin, there's no evil. And so, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Here's what I want to point out, is that first what we see here is there's a requirement to walk in the light as God is in the light. And if we do this, what that results in is that we have fellowship with God. And also, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, what we have then is that there's two things here that we need from God. One is we need to be able to have fellowship with him, which is just being able to be in relationship, because only if we're in relationship with him will we be counted as righteous before him. And we have to be counted righteous. Being counted righteous is one and the same as being forgiven by him. So all this is something we need. All this equates to basically being in a right standing before God. This is one thing that we need here that we see in this verse. Something else that as fallen sinners still seeking obedience that we need is we need cleansing from sin. We need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin. And this, again, is just, this is forgiveness, righteousness. So these things are, they go together. But we need both of these. Both of these are things that we must have in order to be okay. Within this text, you're seeing a requirement, is what I'm trying to say. You're seeing a requirement for believers. You're seeing a requirement for man to be in a right standing with God. And so in order to have both of these things, what gets us there in this scripture, what we see is walking in the light. So if we are walking in the light, that equals having both of these things. So we have to walk in the light to have fellowship with God and to have his forgiveness and cleansing. So the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk in the light? How do we do that? And further, what I would come look at this chapter and what would naturally kind of rise up in my heart when I'm not thinking correctly, not understanding correctly what this is saying, is this requirement to walk in the light could almost come across as burdensome and difficult. It almost, you could wrongly interpret this as saying that you have to be righteous. You have to, you know, you have to walk in the light. You have to not sin. You have to be perfect almost. There can become a burden that deep down what we could take away when we're thinking wrongly about this. So if we don't understand it, what we would come away with is thinking that God demands us to be righteous. And this is something we would think is dependent on our own efforts and our own exertion. Ultimately, our own abilities. And it can lead us to feel like we have to figure out how to get rid of our weakness. So we would feel like we can't be weak. We can't have wrong emotions, wrong feelings, wrong thoughts that we see inside ourselves. Because if we do, we might think, well, we can't. That means we're not walking in the light. So all that to say, does walking in the light equal this? Is walking in the light equivalent to, ultimately, what we might fear when we read this passage? Perfection. Does God require us to be perfect, to walk in perfection without weakness in order to accept us? So when he says here, walk in the light, and then you will have fellowship with God, and then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. Is he requiring, is that walking the light, is that equivalent to a walk of perfection? That's what we're trying to answer here. Okay, so let's keep reading in verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So right after he tells us to walk in the light, as he is in the light, he then goes on to say, part of what that's going to look like as we're walking in the light is that we're not going to be saying we have no sin. Because if we're truly walking the light, then what's going to happen is we're going to actually recognize how weak and imperfect we still are. We're going to see that even though God accepts us and embraces us and has forgiven us, even now, as a sanctified believer, it's not our righteousness and our perfection that is making us in a good standing with God. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we're still going to see sin. If we're in a place where we believe that we have no sin, that we're walking in a perfect state of righteousness before God, that we don't have weakness or sin inside of ourselves, if that's the way we're thinking, then actually we're deceiving ourselves. We're not accurately understanding reality. And this says the truth is not in us. This is actually really good news, because what this means is that walking in the light clearly does not equal perfection. It does not mean that we have to be completely free and not having any experience of weakness or struggle as we're walking and pursuing obedience. What it means, let's look at verse 9, we're going to find out what it means. So he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's put this together. So first he says we have to walk in the light if we want to have, one, fellowship with God, and two, we want to be cleansed by Jesus from all sin. Again, in order to have these things, the requirement is that we're walking in the light. And now here in verse 9, what we're seeing is the other requirement is that he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What confession of sin is here in this context, he's unpacking really what it means to walk in the light. So one who is walking in the light, what will characterize these people is confession of sin. So does this mean that every time we sin, we have to go to a priest or we have to go to a pastor or we have to go to somebody and tell them what we've done? No, that's in this context, that's not at all what he's saying. He's not saying that in order to be forgiven, every time there's a sin or we fail or we struggle, that we have to go in with our mouths, acknowledge that to another human being. He's talking about beyond even just an acknowledgement with our mouth of what we've done. He's talking about a heart that agrees and sees our sin and our condition. And in the heart is agreeing with it. So this is more than just saying that we've sinned with our mouth to somebody or even to God. What this is a heart that is in agreement with God about sin. And really, it's a heart that is in agreement with God about our sin. It's a heart that is submitted to Him, it's humble, it's contrite before Him, and it's aware of its own imperfection, its own weakness, its own failings. This is the kind of heart that ultimately is equivalent to walking in the light. So to have this kind of heart, a heart that agrees with God about our sin, is what it looks like, is partially, we're kind of getting an idea, and John unpacks it in the following chapters more and more. He explains to us what it means to walk in the light. But what we're finding here, the encouragement that I want to give you, is that walking the light does not mean sinless perfection. It doesn't mean overcoming and being free from all weakness and all struggle and all failure. Actually, in a sense, it's the exact opposite of that. To walk in the light means that we're aware of our weaknesses and our failures. We're aware of all that we are not, of all the weakness that we are and how unrighteous we are. And from that, what it does is it causes us to put our faith not in ourselves, but we look to Jesus. We look and trust in Him. We trust in what God has provided for us in Him. So this is a heart that is walking in the light, not a heart that is perfect, not a heart that is without sin, not a heart that doesn't struggle or have weaknesses. God is not waiting for us to get over our weaknesses and our imperfections before He accepts us, before we can have fellowship with Him, and before He will cleanse us from our sin. Rather, what God is looking for is a heart that is humble enough to acknowledge that we are weak, we are imperfect, and we need Him. We need Him. We need what He has done in Christ. We need the work of the cross. We need the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace that He's provided in Jesus. And so God accepts us while we're weak, while we still have sin. And what He wants from us is a heart that confesses it, a heart that agrees with Him about it, that isn't prideful and unbelieving, so that it resists God and resists the truth of what He says about us, that tries to hide sin, that tries to cover it up, that is in a state of denial about our condition. To be in darkness, to walk in darkness, is exactly that. So He talks about we can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. Well, again, I think he begins to unpack what it means to walk in darkness. To walk in darkness means you're not in touch with reality. And then he goes on to say, remember in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So not only is he unpacked for us what it means to walk in the light, he's also unpacked for us what it means to walk in darkness. To walk in darkness means that we're in a state in our heart where it's carnal, it's fleshly, and it does not agree with God about our sin. It's a heart condition that is not in tune. It's not aware about about its sin condition. And if, in whatever sense it is aware, the sin that it's aware of, this person is suppressing the truth. This person is, rather than acknowledging that sin and saying, God, you're right about this. I need your help. I need your mercy. This is a heart that runs away from God. It's a heart that doesn't acknowledge and agree with God about sin, but runs away from him and tries to hide from him and do its own thing to find freedom and peace, whether that's running to sin or running to religion and running to trying to perform good works in order to get God's approval. Both directions are wrong. The one who walks in darkness, again, he's either going to go to the left or to the right, to the left of sin or to the right of trying to produce righteousness by his own efforts. And again, both of these are wrong directions. The right direction is, again, to confess, to simply humble ourselves, confess our inability to be righteous on our own, and confess to and agree with God that sin is not the way, sin is not the answer, and rather to confess our sin and embrace Jesus by faith and say, God, I'm not enough. I'm not able to overcome my weakness, but you are. When we do this, once again, this is what it means to walk in the light. This is walking in the light, and this results in right standing with God, being able to be in fellowship with him, have a right relationship with him, to be counted righteous before God and to be forgiven, to have the cleansing blood of Jesus that's washing away all of our sin. So again, this walk is not about not having sin in us. It's not about getting to a point where we no longer have weakness and struggle. It's about living in a state where we're constantly acknowledging our sin to God and acknowledging our weakness and then running to him for his righteousness. Now, this isn't a endorsement to sin. This isn't an encouragement to say, so just go and sin all you want. The one who truly understands the mercy of God here, really what all this can be summed up in is this is God's mercy and his grace and his patience. There's so much of God's goodness being displayed in these verses and how he responds to fallen sinners who are still weak. This doesn't, again, what I'm getting at is that this should not result in saying, okay, well, then I can just go sin. I can run off and do whatever I want because that's to be expected. I would say the one who's doing that is in darkness. The one who's doing that might think that he's right with God, but if you take these truths about the gospel and about God's grace and mercy, and you say, well, I'm a believer and I'm still going to be weak. I'm still going to struggle. And what that leads you to is to go and pursue sin. That means you're walking in darkness. You're not in the truth. Because if you're truly in the light and you're putting faith in these truths and you're truly understanding it with spiritual eyes, it's going to lead you to love for God. Yes, you will still have weakness and sin, but it's not going to be weakness and sin that's a result of you pursuing it and chasing after it. It's going to be weakness and sin that is accompanying your sincere obedience and pursuit of righteousness. The truths here, the blessings here, the mercy of God that we find here, being a fellowship and cleansing of the blood of Jesus, these things are the result of a heart that is in agreement with God about sin. And so it's humble and contrite, and it's a sincere heart. It's a sincere heart that truly gets the gospel. It gets the grace, the mercy, the goodness of God, and it's applying faith to these things. It has faith in the mercy, goodness, and the grace of God so that it leads to a heart of sincerity and a sincere pursuit of obedience.